Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
To take control of the airwaves. You can talk about whatever is on your mind, or you can join in the conversations that we'll be having. 603-283-6160 if you would like to do that. Again, that number is 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
Nikki. And it's Bonnie.
And coming up, technology that absolutely terrifies me. And, you know, I'm cool with AI. I love the possibilities behind AI, and I think it could lead to such wondrous things, the likes of which I can't even imagine. However, there's other technologies being researched that I feel like are Pandora's box, because that's what all of technology ultimately is, a sort of Pandora's box. Once you open it up, you can't uninvent it. And the technology that people are working on is mind-reading technology. And that bothers me on so many levels, because once you open that Pandora's box up, as I said, you can't close it. And it will just be a matter of time before you're watching the evening news and the president comes on to give a speech. And the television, since it reads your mind, it says, oh, well, this person is not sufficiently enthusiastic about what the leader just said, so send in the goon squad to take this person to be re-educated.
And at the rate that technology is developing, I mean, that could be somewhat in the near future if this mind-reading technology is already developed. I mean,
they already have those ads that, I don't think it actually went to market, but they had the ability to make sure that your pupils were watching the ad, so that way they weren't like, you weren't just like putting it down and waiting for the ad.
Oh, that's weird.
That's a really good point, Bonnie. Is that technology similar to this already exists? Like, there's probably enough tells in your body language and in your facial movements where if you're not happy about what the president is saying, an artificial intelligence could probably peer through a webcam and read your body language and your facial expression and say, well, this person doesn't buy this.
Yeah, well, people get trained to do that. Like, yeah. People that do interrogations, they'll get trained. And it's not hard once you know the tells to tell when someone's lying or whether they're uncomfortable or whatever, because a lot of people have similar tells.
Yeah. And an AI would, one of the things that the Chinese are doing in artificial intelligence. In other words, I don't think artificial intelligence should be used for this purpose, but I also know that it's unavoidable. I was reading We Have Been Harmonized, which is a book by a Chinese dissident who fled China and, you know, came to the United States. And now she writes about the evils of the Chinese government. This is a relatively recent dissident, like within the last few years. And she talks about what the Chinese government is doing with artificial intelligence. And among exactly what you would expect, like their bathrooms automatically detect your face and it'll issue you like 9 squares of toilet paper every 8 minutes or whatever.
Really?
Yeah, and
what?
If you need more than that, you're just, you know, no luck there. So, I mean, it's a way of conserving, you know, toilet paper, making sure that people don't waste it. Right now, that's the cheapskating that I would expect from the Chinese government. But it's also doing things like, it's studying a specific person's gait, how they walk, especially in the Uyghur provinces. And if they go outside of the norm for that walk, the AI is able to recognize this. Like, this person doesn't normally walk this way. They normally walk like this, and that's suspicious. And then the police are visiting you and investigating you, interrogating you. Not to mention that the tone of your voice, the way your eyes move, all of these things that we have normal examples of. And artificial intelligence, it can take all of this data of how you normally act, and it can compile it into some understanding of you. And when you operate outside of that, it can flag it as suspicious. Say, oh, and they have cameras everywhere, just like the United Kingdom. So these cameras, especially in the Uyghur province, are always monitoring you. This artificial intelligence is always watching you. And if it's like, this guy's walking different today. You're getting visited by the police.
That's stuff that 1984 didn't even predict. Like, we're past that now.
Yeah.
And it's happening right now.
Well, and
in
that
China.
Is scary. That's a good point that they're past 1984 level, because that's always the book where people are like, yeah, this is like...
Can you believe this is happening?
Yeah, like 1984, Anthem by Ayn Rand, those are like peak, you know, dystopian novels. But some places right now are already past that level, which is terrifying.
It really is unsettling what the Chinese government is doing with artificial intelligence. And I lost interest in the book. We have been harmonized. I would strongly recommend it. The first half of the book is fantastic. Afterward, it starts feeling like it's, you know, a little jingoist and just a little "Wee Yay America" kind of thing going on,
yeah.
And it falls apart. But the actual, and you know, she could be making it all up. I don't know, but it doesn't seem like she's making it all up. And based on everything I've heard of the way that the Chinese government is treating the weaker Muslims and all of the other uses of artificial technology that I've seen, that's the problem with artificial technology, though. A human can make mistakes. Like, I see Bonnie regularly, but if Bonnie was acting suspicious, I probably wouldn't know it just by interacting with Bonnie from one day to the next. But if I was an artificial intelligence, then I would have a very clear memory of exactly how Bonnie always sits there. If she ever does it a little bit differently, then she's being visited by the Chinese goons.
It's just crazy, because that could mean anything. Like, she could have a stomach ache, she could have a headache, she could be, you know, it's not necessarily
right.
Like, oh, she's plotting against the government.
Well, there's probably something like that where, you know, it checks to see if you've been sick. And if it does, then they might not send you the police to visit you. But it's terrifying technology, and mind-reading technology isn't going to make it any easier for you to hide yourself. And I don't necessarily think you need to hide yourself from anything or anyone, but that space within your head, your own private thoughts, that should always be yours and no one else's unless you choose to share it with them. Like, technology that reads your mind, and this technology, it already exists to some capacity. It's been previewed at technology shows for decades, or not decades, but for years now, where, like, you put on this helmet, and then you control this cube on a screen with your mind.
Yeah.
You move it to the left, you move it to the right, all by thinking about moving it. So it's already a scientific fact. It's already a technological reality that they can read your brain waves and use the and measure them and understand them to some degree. It's a little more complicated, obviously, than just popping up in your head like a book and reading exactly what you're thinking. But any peering into one's brain, I think, is something that we as a society should just run the opposite direction from. And I realize there's probably money to be made in it, but I don't have a solution. I'm not proposing a solution. I just wish we as human beings, we were smart enough by this point to go, oh, you know what? With all of the many, many ways that this technology can backfire, I think we should avoid it.
I don't think it's an intelligence issue. I think it's a power and a control issue.
Because I think most, like, people like us would, not just like us, like libertarians, but like not, you know, elites, whatever, you know.
Yeah, average people.
Would be like, oh yeah, we shouldn't be able to read each other's minds. Like,
I wouldn't even want to read someone's mind, you know, and I definitely don't want anyone reading my mind.
If for no other reason than because I don't want other people reading my mind, I wouldn't want to read anyone else's mind.
Yeah, it's a it's like mutual respect, and I'm sure the elites or whoever wants to use this technology to read people's minds, I'm sure they wouldn't want their minds read.
Right.
Oh, like, certainly not. Well, this technology to be used to spy on us, it's not meant to be used to spy
exactly,
on them.
Exactly,
right.
But then that's why I'm saying...
turn off the monitors.
Well, and that's why I'm saying it's a morals issue. I think it's an ethical issue more so than, you know, people lacking intelligence.
That's true. I can't imagine there's too many people out there who are eager for, like, mind-reading technology to exist. But let's go to the phones. We have Creighton on the line from Kentucky. Creighton, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi. I wanted to talk about something significantly lighter than that. A couple weeks ago, Ian made an attempt to copy my accent.
Did he?
And he did.
Okay.
And,
Ian's insensitive like that.
I don't know what I would characterize your accent as.
Yeah, me either.
I guess it's the ultimate Kentucky accent, isn't it?
No, it's not. Actually, before I tell you what it is, I want to ask you, all three of you women, can you hear my accent?
What was the question?
can you hear my accent?
Yeah, I don't know how I would describe it, but you definitely have some sort of accent.
Yeah, like, I would say that it's, I just had to guess, it'd say southern to Midwest, like, maybe it could even be, like, you know, Indiana, something like that, Ohio.
It's southern, but not in the drawl kind of way
yeah.
of, like, Mississippi or Alabama.
Yeah.
But it's definitely got some southern tinge to it.
Well, I grew up in Kentucky, of course, and most of Kentucky has the Appalachian accent, which is that kind of hickish sound that you're hearing.
I don't know what you mean by hickish sound, because
I don't think you sound hickish.
No, I'm from Mississippi, right, where there very much is. And when I hear my sister, like, leave me voice messages, I just cringe so bad by how country this girl sounds.
I had to, like, bully my cousin out of talking so country. Like, she would say bangers instead of fingers.
Oh,
like,
wow, that's
it's not
extreme.
Bangers, it's fingers, until, like, I bullied it out of her as a kid.
I'll find some voice messages my sister sent me and show it to you during the commercials, because I think they're probably about that extreme. And, you know, she sent me a voicemail that my father left her shortly before his death, because she was like, hey, this is one of the last times he was in a good mood or whatever. And same thing there, where just like, you won't be able to tell if you hear these people that I'm related to them, that I'm from the same area they're from.
So how did you come up here without a southern accent? How did you make it out?
You have a southern accent.
I do have one, but
it's
very
like
slight.
Creighton
I can't
like
hear it at all.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. I've deliberately worked to remove the southern. It's like how I enunciate the letter T more so than most people do. I've deliberately worked on the speech habits in order to eliminate some of these accents and characteristics that are typical of people in the South.
My mom did, too, when she joined the Army. But, sorry, Creighton, we're kind of, like, going off into other things. But I would say I hear, like, a slight Southern accent, but it's definitely not hickish, like you said. Like, I don't consider you, like, there's just a certain type of person that, you know, kind of lives in maybe a trailer park and just, like, allows their voice to just go off, you know, like...
Well,
they're allowing it. They're getting into it, you know.
But the reason I even ask is because my mother has the standard Appalachian Kentucky accent, and my father does not. But the reason my father does not is the same reason I don't, is because he went to a private school and I went to the same private school all 12 years of school, and in that school, we were deliberately taught Upper Midland American. We weren't allowed to.
So you mean they, like, name the accents? Or, like, this is the exact dialect we're going to teach you?
I'm so bad with accents. Like, I can't. Like, if someone has a really thick southern accent, I can tell, but I can't. Like, I couldn't tell you the difference between, like, oh, this is this kind of southern accent, and this is, you know, the Appalachian accent. Like, I couldn't tell you the difference.
You sort of have to be from there in order to, like, if I hear a Boston accent, I'm not going to be able to tell the difference between that and, like, a Connecticut
Rhode Island.
Accent.
That's actually funny that you say that, because I can tell the difference between people from Southie and people, like, from just outside of the city. Like, I can, so I guess
like, Joa just sounds like a New Yorker to me, and he's from Rhode Island, but I don't know.
Well, there's a specific reason that it was taught that way in the school that I went to. I'm a generation older than you all, anyone that is up there right now. And when my father went to the same school, he was left-handed. They actually treated him like he was mentally dysfunctional and forced him to write. Learn cursive right-handed.
Yeah, allowing people to be left-handed is a relatively new thing. I think that really only, like, started in the 20th century, didn't it?
Yes, it late to the 20th century.
Yeah,
but the reason that they specifically teach Upper Midland American is because that's considered the average standard accent, and practically every national newscaster has to deliberately learn it for that exact reason, because it makes you most understandable no matter where you travel in the United States.
That's interesting.
And so that is probably why you hear a muted southern accent from me, even though I can't hear it.
Oh,
myself.
I definitely
heard it there. Yeah.
It was definitely there.
Yeah, when you say can't instead of can't, it's pretty southern.
Thank you so much for the call tonight, Creighton.
I only say it because he asked, right? Like, I don't like to point out people's accents when they didn't ask, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and even sometimes somebody does ask, and then when you're like, okay, well, you say it like this, they'll still get, like, offended in a way. And I'm just like, okay, I just won't do that, you know?
Accents are a fascinating topic, and one of the reasons that I find them so interesting is, like, if you sound like you're from the South, and I'm sorry to say this, and again, thank you so much tonight for the call, Creighton, and I don't mean you, Creighton, when I say if you sound like you're from the South, because you don't sound like, when I say from the South, I mean these deep Southern Mississippi-style, Alabama-style accents. When you speak like you have that accent, there's no way to sound intelligent.
Yeah, and I hate to agree with that because it sounds mean, but it's true.
I have to disagree because if you sound like you're from the South is like a nebulous thing. If you are sounding sloppy and you're purposely like yet stuff like that, like instead of like purposely not sounding sloppy, it's different. Like there are like, you know, plenty of like scholars and stuff that have like a Alabamian accent, but they don't.
Are there?
Because
I'm not sure there are.
Well, there are schools there. I mean, the one I'm thinking of, I can't think of, but there's an Alabamian libertarian guy that's smart. I mean, like,
well, I think I know what you mean.
Hard on yourself.
I think I know what you mean, though, with the like the very thick Southern accent, like where it's almost like mispronouncing words in.
That's what I'm basically saying. It's like if you're like being sloppy, like anyone can.
But the Southern accent is sloppy.
But not if
I
you're
mean,
just not being
is
careful
how they
about
say it.
It. But that's the thing. Like I've made fun of her. She doesn't do it anymore.
Right.
You know.
I know. But that, like that's how my sister would say
country
it too.
When she says even just like finger, it's like just how she sounds. But she doesn't sound like an idiot. And like the other thing is people are against it because of, like, the Civil War. What am I trying to say? There's a stimulant. I can't think of it.
Like a stigma to
stigma.
It.
Yeah, people are like, oh, those are the people that wanted slavery. Oh, those people are just poor and dumb because we made them poor because we destroyed them. Like,
I mean, there's certainly some truth to that, and that could be why the general perception is that, you know, people that speak with a Southern accent sound unintelligent or sound uneducated, rather. And I don't mean to suggest that there aren't any educated people from the South and speaking with Southern accents. Obviously, there are, right? I probably would like to think I'm one of the less stupid people from the South, right? But the options here aren't sounding intelligent or sounding stupid, right? And what I think is you can't sound like a Rhodes Scholar while speaking with a Southern accent. Like, Larry the Cable Guy is, like, the ultimate Southern accent example I can think of. And I realize that Larry the Cable Guy is a character created by this one other guy. His all the accents fake and all this stuff. But Larry the Cable Guy is how a lot of people from the South actually speak.
Yeah, but, it's like, a lot of people from the South are actually dumb, just like a lot of people in New Hampshire are actually dumb.
Sure. But if you gave me, a medical doctor, and he sounded like Larry the Cable Guy, and you gave me a different medical doctor who sounded like he was from Boston, I would trust one of those opinions just a whole lot more.
But wouldn't that be because he's Larry, the way Larry the Cable Guy talks like a redneck? Like, there are plenty of people, like, would you be, this guy's an idiot if he sounded like that Texas nationalist guy, whatever his name is?
Well, no, but that's a lighter Southern accent. My comment was specifically about the deep Southern accent, like Larry the Cable Guy or my sister. And again, I don't think my sister's stupid. I think the guy who created Larry the Cable Guy is probably not stupid. But there's something about the accent that doesn't sound intelligent.
There's something about lots of people from Boston's accent that doesn't sound intelligent when they are ghetto people. When they're like,
sure.
You
yeah,
know,
there's, yeah, that like urban style accent, that also sounds unintelligent because
how about
again,
the Jersey accent.
Ugh. Yeah, like that. So it's like whenever you're mispronouncing words and kind of, and I think a lot of it isn't just like the pronunciation and the actual accent. It's different pockets where they have these dialects. They use a lot of different slang, and sometimes it's slang that makes people sound stupid.
Mm.
You know, even like going on Facebook and reading some Facebook statuses, when people use incorrect grammar and they, you know, stick emojis everywhere, you look like an idiot. That's just what it is,
Facebook.
Unfortunately.
The ghetto. Facebook is the ghetto of the internet.
It's the boomer land of the internet, right? And that's
the boomer ghetto.
I rarely use Facebook. I think I post like one thing a day, and it's becoming less and less my interactions with Facebook because I can't get away from that feeling. Every time I look on Facebook, it's like, okay, this is... I'm in a lot of groups that aren't filled with boomers and a lot of groups that make fun of boomers, actually. But those areas aside, it just something about Facebook seems like it's for boomers.
Yeah.
And so I avoid it.
It just, like, depressed me. I don't know how you guys are still on it, because, like, whenever I would get on it at all, I would just, it wasn't an ideological thing. I wasn't like, you know what, I need to privacy, but I was just not entertained. It was, like, annoyed me.
I use Facebook to connect with my family. I use Facebook to message people, and those, I use it as a tool for communication.
That's what kept it.
I don't really like scroll. Like, I don't go through the timeline or anything, but I do like checking in on people, seeing, you know, I have family all over the place. I have family in Alaska. I have, you know, on the West Coast, New Jersey, South Carolina. I have people all over.
Wasn't it nice when Facebook would give you a news feed that would keep you up to date on everything going on in your family? Remember that period of Facebook's existence?
Now it's like a bunch of ads and then just what they think you want to see.
Sometimes I am like, I wish I had it just for like if I'm like, what do they look like now? And I want to see someone or something like that. But I just basically, I can live without that. Like, that was the thing that kept me on as long as I did have it. Like, I don't know. I got rid of it in 2020.
Yeah. I just don't see a point of deleting it.
Well, you can't. If you use the VPN to change your location and, you know, you change the location in your settings to somewhere in the European Union, you might be able to delete it because of the GNKP or whatever the law is that requires you to be able to disappear from the internet. But in the United States, if you click the delete button, it just turns back an error. And says you can't be deleted. You can deactivate your account. Like, Ian still has a Facebook account. Technically, it's deactivated, but it cannot be deleted. And this is the case for a number of people. Phil of, I can't think of the name of the band off the top of my head. All That Remains was recently talking about how he doesn't have a Facebook, and people were trying to contact him on it. He was like, well, look, the person you're contacting there is a deactivated account. I haven't been on Facebook in years. I have no desire to go back because I don't know why he's chosen to leave Facebook, but I do miss those days when Facebook was actually useful for keeping up with what people were actually doing in their day-to-day lives. And it hasn't been that in a very, very long time. If it was that, I think I would find some use in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not useful to me. I don't spend any time scrolling Facebook, and I suspect that no one spends very much time scrolling Facebook. The people who used to scroll Facebook are now scrolling TikTok.
Well, I think the boomers are the ones that are scrolling Facebook.
Do you?
I've seen it firsthand.
They're getting tricked by fake news on there, and they're also like doing those quizzes all day.
Yeah, the quizzes, the quizzes and the games. Oh, yeah.
They love the games. I've seen my sister doing this a couple of times, because she'll send them to me directly in messages. She's like, hey, it said this about me, where it's like, oh, you are tough and firm and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, this is just randomly, it randomly grabbed this and said it was you, and you could click the button repeatedly until you get one that you like. This is not, why are you doing this? This is like horoscopes for stupid people. Can we stop this? 603-283-6160. There is more coming up here. 603-283-6160. Do you think AI should be able to read your mind? It's Free Talk Live.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA News Update. The Federal Reserve is raising interest rates again. Today's hike, a quarter of a percentage point.
The process of getting inflation back down to 2% has a long way to go and is likely to be bumpy.
Fed Chair Jerome Powell says the rate hike is needed as they try to get a hold of inflation that hasn't been seen for decades. The New York City grand jury hearing the case against former President Trump was told to stay home today, but they could meet again tomorrow. They're investigating alleged money paid to adult film actress Stormy Daniels by former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen to cover up an alleged affair. President Biden will be heading to Canada tomorrow. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby said the president will participate in a bilateral meeting with Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Biden wants to affirm his administration's commitment to the U.S.-Canada partnership. The two are expected to discuss support for Ukraine during Russia's invasion. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Live, and you are invited to join us. 603-283-6160. If you want to do that, that's 603-283-6160. What are we doing in the studio tonight? It's Aria,
Nikki,
and it's Bonnie.
And coming up, an anti-trans holy war, according to some of these Christians, that they are waging what they believe is jihad.
What?
Well, jihad is it's an Islamic phrase meaning struggle, right?
Hmm.
And so it doesn't mean what Christians think it means, but...
No, it does not mean what I thought it meant.
This would be jihad.
Wait, did they use that word, or...?
No, I'm using this word because they get upset about Muslims.
Yeah.
So, and the word jihad in particular.
Yeah.
So
I don't even know what that means.
No, I thought it just meant war or attack or something.
No, it just means struggle, right? The struggle of this thing.
The jihad of the Christ.
Yeah, more or less, yeah. I like that term better, and that's going to upset them. They've been quoting things like The Handmaid's Tale and other things just about how dystopian of a world we live
because
in.
Because of trans people?
Yeah.
What do trans people have to do with The Handmaid's Tale?
Well, these people are crazy, remember? they literally believe a bearded dude lives in the sky and is watching them 24/7, right? They're crazy. And they have the audacity to call me crazy. And that's where I get,
right,
I don't get offended easily, right? But when I have someone saying, you know, my sky daddy says you're evil, I have a really hard time reconciling
that.
Yeah. It's like, well, your sky daddy can tell me that himself, but he won't because he doesn't exist. But anyway, let's keep going to the phones. 603-283-6160 if you want to do that. We have Cynthia on the line from California. Cynthia, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi,
what's on your mind tonight?
Hosting this. Well, I was just listening to another radio host, and she was revealing that General Dynamics was put in charge of the VAERS system. And, of course, our Pentagon is the one that formulated and ordered Pfizer and Moderna how to construct this gene-altering thing they passed off as a vaccine, which was quite dangerous. And what really bugs me about it is
Can I ask you one question?
Government... Pardon, hon?
Just I want to know what we're talking about. So General Dynamics, aren't they the ones that created, like, those dog robot police?
They're worldwide. They're huge. And by the way, they quite possibly are controlled by people in the United Kingdom.
Okay.
And so what bugs me is that people don't seem to realize that large parts of our government and our military are controlled from outside the United States by probably descendants of the same people that tricked us into thinking we were actually setting up an independent nation. Do you know that there were signers of the Constitution and of the Declaration of Independence that were esquires from the City of London? And their oath is to the City of London, that little area that's the financial center, right, of the world.
There's a lot to unpack in the stuff that you're saying.
But we need our people of our military to understand that they've actually been placed under foreign control.
Well, that's what a lot
because
of...
I think there'd be upheavals if they understood that.
Well, we have,
explain
know,
it
we
to
have
me.
The...
Here's your opportunity. You want them to understand. Explain it to me.
Okay. First of all, American inventors will submit their patents, right, to the patent office, which is under control by Serco, which is a British company. Serco has the right to say, oh, this is national security. You can't publish this. And then they steal it, and it's given to their friends.
Okay, that may or may not be true. I don't know, but go ahead.
I was going to ask what that has to do with the military.
That was exactly what I was going to ask.
You were talking about how you've been at these conventions where you could sit there, and you would use your brain, and you would control the movement of something.
I've never personally been to these conventions, but I have seen videos of people using these technologies at these conventions, yes.
So those are really important inventions, right?
No, I wish to God that humans would not invent those things.
Do you really want the military to be in control of those?
What was your question?
Especially if it's outside of the United States.
I didn't hear it because I was too busy answering the previous question you had asked.
Right. Well, I'm asking for ideas about how can we get the word out and get people to look at this, because until we end the foreign control of our elections and of our military, we're not ever going to truly be independent or free.
I understand, Cynthia, but I'm asking you to make your case for that, right? If you want to get that message to the military, we're playing on like 170, 180 conservative areas throughout the United States, many of which have military people listening. So explain it to me. How is the United States military under control of foreign influences? And you immediately started talking about patents, and that's a completely different matter. How is the U.S. military?
Well, that's not actually independent, because a lot of military applications, the patents are related to military applications, right? And how you apply them, and how do you put it into a product, and how do you use it against people?
Because they'll say, oh, I see what you're saying. Like, if somebody invents something and they say, oh, we can't have the public have this because it's too dangerous, like only the military should have that. Is that what you're saying?
Right. And that's under control by Serco, which is a foreign-owned company.
What is the name of this company?
It's S-E-R-C-O.
I would just have to say that, we as people won't be independent even if the United States Empire is more in control of us instead of the, the UK empire, because those people don't have our interests in mind, and they don't represent me any more than people in England.
You know, that's a great point, Bonnie. I don't care if Chinese people or American people or English people want to claim to be my leader or rule over me. I don't care what country you're from, what nationality you are, what accent you have. I don't consent.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, Cynthia. Serco certainly seems to be a real company. They have existed since 1929, well after the foundation of the United States and the U.S. Patent Office.
But they hold the contract.
Okay, but the Patent Office existed before Serco.
True. So the contract to administer it was given to Serco. Why are we giving control of something that important.
I think patents shouldn't exist.
Yeah,
I don't think
patents should exist either.
You know, the United States controls it. People shouldn't be told, you can't work on that invention.
I mean, actually, that would be a great solution to Cynthia's problem. Yeah. If we just get rid of patents.
Get rid of copyright, get rid of patents, get rid of intellectual property.
I agree with those ideas entirely. I've got on hold for the moment because there was a siren going by in the background there, and I didn't want to, you know, broadcast that. I don't know what's going on there, but even if we accept that the U.S. government gave temporary stewardship or even ownership of this patent program to this private company, they do seem to be an American company at that. They were founded in the United States in 1929. I didn't watch all of the video here, but it does seem to be the case that they were founded in the United States. So having an American company register the U.S. patents doesn't necessarily... Oh, yeah, that didn't get any better. Cynthia, gonna let you go at this point because that didn't get any better. And I wish you had the opportunity to respond. So definitely give us a call back tomorrow night, especially if you feel like you didn't get your message out there. You know, give us some thought because...
You know, that makes me want to ask people who believe, like, we need the government to protect us XYZ. I want to ask them, why is a company, no matter what nationality, in control of this sector? It's like, why can't we just choose what companies we trust to be in charge of different things in our lives if, like, the government's already using a company to do these things anyway? The government's not like, you know, oh, well, we're completely, opinionless entity and we'll do things fairly in the patents. Obviously, they're having a company do it.
Well, that's what Cynthia is claiming. I don't know what Serco does. And all I know is that they're a company that exists.
Okay.
And they are, I don't know what they describe themselves as. I've already closed that out. But they are a company that exists in the United States and employs over 9,000 people. Cynthia is saying that they're a foreign company. I don't see any reason to believe that, but even if all of that is true, and even if the United States government is outsourcing, you know, the patent keeping up with the bookkeeping to a company in the United Kingdom or to a company in Russia or China, as Bonnie points out, I don't really care who they're from. Their nationality isn't important, but I don't see how control of the patent office or the ability to register patents means that the U.S. military is under control of foreign influences. It sounds to me like the same... I watched a video a long time ago called, like, 30 Little Known Facts About the United States. And it made these sweeping allegations, like, the United States is actually a British corporation, and read this and read that, and...
Maritime law. Like, are these facts?
Right.
You know?
And it links all of these different documents, where it's like, you can look these up and learn about these yourself, and you can find out that it's true. So I was like, all right. Well, I'm going to do exactly that. Then I got some time to kill. At the time, I did have plenty of time to kill. This was like 7 or 8 years ago. So I looked at some of the documents, and one of the ones in particular that was being used to cite the idea that the United States was a British corporation was a brief document about docking protocols in the state of New York. And nothing whatsoever about corporations or the United Kingdom or the British Empire, or it was just about how to pull into these particular docks. And I pointed out to this guy that the sources that he specified don't say any of the stuff that he said they did. And his argument over and over and over is, yes, it is. You can read the sources for yourself. You could check it out yourself. I'm like, yeah,
I did.
Yeah, I did that. And this doesn't say that. But he wouldn't even check out the sources. And nothing I could say to him could convince him that the facts weren't true, even though, like, the very stuff you're basing these arguments on doesn't say this.
When people are doing that, it just makes me have to assume that they're, like, disinformation agents. Like, they're just out there to say crazy stuff to make anybody who, you know, like us on the radio, we're questioning the authority of the United States just for logical reasons. Makes us look crazy, like, oh, you're one of those sovereign citizen types, whatever, you know, because we don't believe that we're, you know, U.S. citizens, you know.
And I certainly don't mean to suggest that I think Cynthia was a kook like the guy who produced that video or made that video or stole that video. I don't know whether or not he created it. But it seems like it's of the same conspiracy mind, right?
I also think that if people want to believe something, if they're already invested in it, they will not allow themselves to hear you out. Like, they just have to put up that wall.
That's true.
We saw it with COVID, too. Like, a lot of the people who, like, bought into it really hard in the beginning, once some of these facts started coming out, it was really, really hard to reason with people because they already, you know, they're already bought into it. If they were to admit that, you know, there's these flaws in the scheme, then everything would come crumbling down. And that's a lot to have to face.
One of my favorite YouTubers is this guy called Theremin Trees, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly or not, because I don't think he's ever actually used the name of his channel in any of the videos, but he makes a bunch of, I don't want to call them anti-religious videos, because they're not anti-religious, they're anti-manipulation videos, and the fact that that seems anti-religious is just part of the problem with how religion is typically handled in the West. However, it points out that the reason people fall into cults is not because they're stupid or they're gullible or anything like that. It's because the cult finds some weakness in them, mm-hmm. and it exploits that. It takes advantage of that, and it gets them to invest some little part of themselves, right, some time or some money. And then it slowly but surely asks for more time and more money and more time and more money. And, oh, yeah, those other people are getting in the way. And then it starts to segregate you from your friends and family. And before these people even realize what has happened, they're caught up in this cult with no way to escape. And they're completely convinced in its truth. And it's almost impossible to break them out of that because they've invested in it for 4 years or 5 years, and they've built an entire life there. An entire, their entire worldview is based off this cult. And taking that away, it's like removing the foundation on which their entire life is built. And it's world-wrecking for yeah. them, and they resist it. And that's true for a lot of people. So I fully understand why it's hard to break people out of their beliefs once they find them. So check that out. That's Theremin Trees on YouTube. I would highly recommend any of his videos.
Sounds like that's what Scientology does. It's like you have to keep paying to play, basically. And then yeah. at one point you're like, I'm almost done with this. I just got to pay $100 more to get rid of these e-metertrons, whatever they call them.
Scientology is a fascinating subject. I like South Park's take on it best, but you know, I'm assuming that what South Park said about Scientology is actually true.
Probably.
I remember their Mormonism episode. I don't remember their Scientology episode.
Well, I don't know if their Mormonism episode is true either. I'm assuming that it is because usually when South Park plays something straight like that, they're being honest about what it actually says. So I tend to believe that what they said about Scientology is what Scientologists actually believe. And I want to say it's crazy, right? But there's my grandmother and my family eating their god flesh once a year on Easter. And that's just as crazy as anything yeah. the Scientologists say. They're so used to it that it doesn't seem weird to drink their god's blood once a year. Or if you're Catholic, once a week.
I think that one thing I thought of recently, I didn't think of this all myself. I was listening to a David Icke video, which everybody's going to be like, he's crazy, but he said something really interesting. He said that the Christians, you know, they're all against Satanism, but to him, Christianity is just like Satanism light. But when he said Satanism, he meant like the kind that they think of, like sacrifices and, you know, like
the black magic type of stuff.
Rituals, and yeah. I was like, that's really, you know.
Well, what is a prayer, right, if not an attempt at casting a spell?
Yeah, it is.
Yep.
They're trying to use some magic phrase, and I don't want to use, they're trying to use some phrase to conjure into reality a world that they prefer, to have some effect, to make something come true, yep. or to make something become false by wishing it, by willing for it. And
like I said, I don't know that much about Catholicism, but it sounds like Catholicism is even more so that way because they repeat, like, the Hail Mary. Like, I went to a Catholic funeral once, and it was so weird. Like, they put the dead body in the front, and then they were all saying the Hail Mary over it a million times. Like,
is Hail Mary really just them? I don't know what a Hail Mary is. That just like them saying Hail Mary?
No, it's a prayer.
Okay.
There's, like, a bunch of words I don't even know how to begin, because it's not, like, in the Bible. It's, like, a Catholic thing. That's
but it's just a chant, right?
Yeah, it's like they all chant together, and they're chanting over the body, and they're doing it, like, 11 or 17 or something like that times. It's, like, obviously, like, a ritual.
Right.
Well, everything. Yeah, I mean, everything's a ritual, especially within any religion. You know what I mean?
The Catholics are just more on the nose about it.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong, like, what you were saying before about how a prayer is, I forget how you phrased it, but there's not necessarily something wrong with, like, praying for things or manifesting for things, but it's just weird that Christians, like, most religions are very similar.
Yeah.
But for some reason, it's just like, oh, that one thing, like that one sentence is different, or we disagree on this one minute detail, and we have to go to war over it. That's the problem with religion. Like, there's nothing inherently wrong with believing in Sky Daddy, but once you start, like, say, oh, I hate gay people now, and, you know, I'm going to go harass people, that's when it becomes a problem.
You're absolutely right, and these things do still happen. There was a story a number of years ago of this village where the parents were drowning their children to death because believed they were possessed by children. I mean, by demons. Sorry. They were possessed by children, clearly. But they were drowning their children because they were convinced by missionaries, by Christian missionaries who went to this place and recklessly taught these people a new religion. Next thing you know, those people are drowning their kids because they believe them to be, you know, infested with demons. Yeah. Not to mention Uganda recently, I think today actually, I remember seeing it recently, I don't remember exactly how recent it was, passed a law making the penalty for homosexuality the death penalty.
Yeah.
Oh. So they'll literally put you to death for being gay, and we can say whatever we want about it, but that's ultimately the fault of Christian missionaries.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've said this on the air before. One of my friends is African, and she was telling me that in her country, they still stone people. Literally, if you're gay, they will tie you to a pole and they will throw rocks at you.
Well, I'm not convinced still is even the right word. I think again would be more accurate. They're again punishing, you know, homosexuality. Whereas if you go back 500 years or 600 years, just like the ancient Greeks and the ancient Romans, homosexuality was probably, and I don't know about what African country we're talking about, but I know in most of the world or in many places throughout the world, homosexuality wasn't condemned in the way that it was after the influx of Christianity. So I suspect that could be what's going on.
Yeah, I have no clue about their history. I assumed that it was like that all along, and it was just a cultural thing. But you very well might be correct that it could be as a result of all of the Puritan rhetoric from Christianity.
Bonnie, does your family believe that Trump is, like, sent by God to...
I don't know if they do anymore because, like...
At one point they did, though.
I don't want to say that they did or didn't because I don't really know. But they used to listen to God TV, and they were straight up saying on God TV like what's his name, Jim Baker. He would be like, I had a dream, and blah blah blah, and basically I know now that God wants me to vote for Trump. And you know he'd be really saying that God wants everyone to vote for Trump. Obviously, like so they were getting all that you know, beamed at them. I don't know if they ever believe God. This is the thing my grandma and my mom would say if asked about it. Like, if you're like, how do we know Trump isn't a false prophet according to this? They would be like, God can use anyone, even Trump.
Okay.
That's the type of thing they'd say.
And for anyone curious, I'm not trying to pick on Bonnie when I ask this question. I just know that her family is as fundamentalist Christian as mine.
I just didn't want to,
different ways, though,
say something that wasn't true, because I think about it.
And I appreciate that. I don't know what my family thought about Trump, because I don't speak to them anymore. I can guess, and I would probably be accurate, but it would just be a guess. And I suspect that my family was convinced that Barack Obama was the Antichrist, and that no amount of the Antichrist stuff not happening has caused them to go, you know what, maybe I overreacted a bit. Maybe Obama wasn't the Antichrist. No, none of them have ever admitted they were wrong about
that. He could still be the Antichrist. He's still alive.
I guess so. And again, I'm speculating. I don't know that anyone in my family ever called Barack Obama the Antichrist, but I do know that they had bunkers built in 1998 and 1999, and they filled these things with supplies and bottled water and canned goods and MREs and other crap.
That's expensive.
Yeah, it was, right? This is why my family is poor now, because they have these stupid bunkers that are filled with crap that 30 years later isn't any good, or 25 years later isn't any good, because these things don't
always rotate your stash.
Yeah. So anyway, so they had these bunkers, and they were specifically for when the Y2K bug collapsed society and the Antichrist rose from the ashes to offer us a solution. So while everyone else was like out celebrating the new millennium and stuff, my family was cowering in these bunkers waiting on the world to end. So I don't know what they thought about Barack Obama being the Antichrist. But based on that I'm willing. And the fact that they're from Mississippi, where black men with the middle name of Hussein, oh, God, yeah, they almost certainly believed Barack Obama was the Antichrist and that Donald Trump was sent by God to save humanity. That's probably what they believe, or something to that effect. Now, the reason I ask is because Vice has an article here asking the question, who had it worse, Trump or Jesus Christ? Now,
I mean, that's tough. That's a tough one.
For those not familiar with the story, Jesus Christ, of course, was tortured for a period of like 8 hours before being nailed to pieces of wood, whereupon he suffered until he died.
Wait, was this a Vice, you said?
Yes. But it's unclear. The other article I have from Vice, it also, I think Vice is just sharing the article. I don't know. I don't know if this is actually from, because Vice is leftist, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, it makes me wonder if they're trolling with that, like, headline.
I don't know.
I mean, how are they not trolling with that headline? Someone seriously wrote that?
Well, that's the headline of the article.
Because I feel like even a Christian would be like, this is blasphemous. Like, this isn't.
I doubt it.
Really?
I doubt it, man. Some of these people are hardcore into this, and they believe that Trump, and they believe that Trump is going to. These are the same people who believe that, you know, saying happy holidays to them is honest-to-God persecution.
Yeah, do you remember the Starbucks cup thing?
I do not.
I think they used to have cups that said Merry Christmas, and then they switched to regular red cups, and there was outrage.
Yeah, that's these people. And I don't know to what extent these people are really making this case, but I'm certain that Vice has found some example of some Christians out there comparing Trump to Jesus Christ and saying that he has it worse. So some of Donald Trump's supporters can't help but see similarities between the plight of their beloved former president for alleged schemes surrounding his hush money to an adult film star and the suffering of Jesus Christ. I was looking for the second half of that sentence to skip over everything that Donald Trump is, you know, bogged down in at the moment, but they saved it for the very end, very sloppily written. I don't care about what's going on with Trump. And, of course, they talk about this $130,000 payment because Trump bad. He paid a porn star, and I don't care about any of that. I want to know why Donald Trump is comparable to Jesus Christ. I don't care about what he's being charged with. Maybe it's the prostitute thing, right?
Like, yeah,
Jesus hung out with prostitutes, and so did Trump.
I don't think that was just hanging out.
603-283-6160. There's more coming up. It is Free Talk Live.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.